The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette. Before President Bush, before Bush's war, Iraq represented a natural check on Iran in the region. Today, Iraq is, like Iran, a Shia-ruled state. Before the warmongers marched us in on the basis of non-existent WMDs and forged documents that a high school kid could have seen through, Al-Qaeda wasn't in Iraq. Today, Al-Qaeda flags fly in Ramadi and Fallujah. We have sown the wind in Iraq and Syria, too, and should not be surprised that we will be reaping a whirlwind. We'll talk about it with Ron Paul when we continue in a moment.
This is Ron Paul. Thanks to our sponsors for making these podcasts available to you.
Do you need a website for yourself or your business? Well, of course you do, but shouldn't things be easier by now? This is 2014. Well, finally they are. Squarespace is the easiest way to create an exceptional website. Squarespace provides you everything you need to create a beautiful website for yourself or your business. They have beautiful designs for you to start with and all the style options you need to create a unique website for you or your business. And don't worry about getting stuck along the way, because with Squarespace, they make your site easier than ever. Plus, they have a 24/7 support team. Simply add your own content, customize your style, and you'll have a website that looks great on every device. Seriously, it's that easy. Try Squarespace today for free. Trust me, you'll love your new website. And when you're ready to go live, enter Ron at the checkout and save 10%, plus you get free hosting. Use promo code Ron at squarespace.com/Ron Paul. squarespace.com/Ron Paul.
Ron Paul. Ron Paul. This is Ron Paul, the weekly podcast.
This isn't the first time that American weapons have gone to America's enemies, but now Al-Qaeda and its associates have pillaged armories in Iraq and helped themselves to the American weapons left there, so it is no stretch, I suppose, to conclude that eventually they'll be used against us once again.
Yeah, that seems to be what has happened so many times over the many decades. And it certainly had an effect on what Obama planned to do in Syria, because it was found that the Al-Qaeda groups were getting hold of our weapons that we were sending over there. Of course, we had no idea who the good guys were versus the bad guys. And I guess the most amazing thing to me is it seems like our leadership, Republican or Democrat, never seemed to learn anything. They keep thinking, well, we made a mistake, or we had a little bit of flaw here. We didn't anticipate this. We just have to adjust our policies a little bit. Of course, where I'm coming from is you have to adjust our policies in a big way. We have to decide whether or not we should be there or not, not just say, well, we should be more thorough in picking out the right group and supporting them. I mean, if you look at what's happened in Iraq in particular, I mean, that is such an example of total failure of management, but a failure on theory, too. What in the world do we think our goal was to go into Iraq? Of course, during that time, which I remember so well because I was on the Foreign Affairs Committee, and they were beating the drums of war. And that was the fear that was everybody was feeling right after 9/11. We had to do something. Of course, Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11, and Al-Qaeda did, and therefore it was just a justification to do something they wanted to do anyway. But, you know, I think at least this is my understanding about Al-Qaeda. It's not like it's one group of people and that bin Laden, who started it, was in charge of it, and one person now gives direct order. I see it as just a group of disgruntled people who want to use violence against us because they interpret what we're doing to them as being very violent. And some of the same motivations of Al-Qaeda are the same motivations that the Taliban has, which is more localized to Afghanistan. But we just seem to never learn one thing. And my big question is, why don't we change our foreign policy? Why don't we have a foreign policy that we don't drop out of the world, but our approach to other people would be completely different? it would be based more on trying to build friendships and trades and travel and recognition. And yet so many people react by that saying, yeah, what are you going to do? Talk to these bad guys? They're horrible people. You can't deal with them. Of course, in previous recent history, we dealt with guys like Stalin and Mao Zedong. And these guys were in many ways monsters, killed hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of their own people. Yet, you know, we ended up talking to them. But no, the neoconservatives and so many others in Washington just think that it's a sign of weakness. And yet I see the opposite. I see it a sign of strength and confidence about who we are and what we are, and that we can defend ourselves if necessary. But they think the only way they can show that they're tough is by being militant. It's sort of like a bully, you know, on the block. And I think people who do this, and I think countries that do this, deep down inside, they're insecure. They're not sure of themselves. And there should be a lot of reasons why we shouldn't be sure of ourselves because of this failure of our foreign policy. And if we look back at the consequence of that ill-fated war, of course, it had been going on many, many years before 2003, you know, with the Persian Gulf War and the bombing and the sanctions and all these things. But what have we gained? I think we have gained absolutely nothing. We lost 10,000 Americans. We have hundreds of thousands still seeking health care. We have a suicide epidemic. We have practically destroyed our civil liberties at home and sacrificed these because we're supposed to be so frightened that if the government doesn't take care of us, the Al-Qaeda is going to attack, which is pure fiction. And then if you look at the results in Iraq, total failure. The country's in more chaos. As bad as Saddam Hussein was, you know, he treated Christians differently. There was less killing. He was ruthless and did a lot of bad things. But compared to what has happened since there, it's just a total disaster. So I would think the American people, if they decide that we've gone in the wrong direction, which they're coming around to believing, that we ought to stop the bleeding of our liberties and the literal bleeding of our treasury and the bleeding of our American military. And that means that we need to talk about a foreign policy of non-interventionism. And as bad as it may seem today, I just think the tail end of 2013 gave us a hint that the American people might just be getting ready for a change in attitude. And maybe that's what this year, this election in this year, might reflect those attitudes. Let's hope so.
Well, that would be good news. It does seem that once, for one reason or another, the bunting and the banners are brought out and the parades begin and the brass bands begin marching, that all rationality, and it's not a fault of only American people, but that all rationality is replaced with chest thumping. This was the case in America during the lead up to the Iraq War, in which many of these things that we've described here on this podcast today were completely foreseeable.
Yeah, foreseeable, predictable. We've gone through it before, but there was no desire to hear the truth. I remember in the debate going into the resolution allowing the president to invade Iraq and start the war. Of course, the chairman of the committee said that my request that if you're serious, you ought to declare war one way or the other. He said that, well, that part of the Constitution we don't follow anymore. And I also had mentioned that, they haven't even committed aggression against it. And one member of the committee got to floor and he sort of tried to, look down on me and say, yeah, we know you're the expert on the Constitution. But what do you mean haven't committed, any acts of aggression against the United States? He said they've been shooting at our airplanes for the past 10 years. Of course, we've been over there. What were we doing? We were killing them and we were starving their kids. I mean, even Madeleine Albright admitted 500,000 children had probably died due to our sanctions and our abuse. So it is really a tragedy. And if, you know, many of us thought that maybe there was a wake up call with Vietnam, you know, the stupidity of that war. And finally, the knowledge of Daniel Ellsberg that it was all a concocted war, that maybe we would wise up. But, you know, after a while, they were waiting. They were waiting, and the neocons talked about it. You can't do much without a Pearl Harbor event. And that doesn't mean they planned the Pearl Harbor event. But, boy, they took advantage of it. And the Pearl Harbor event that they were waiting for was 9/11. And that was why Paul O'Neill was so shocked with his first meeting, you know, even before 9/11, with Bush's cabinet in the year 2001. The first meeting was, when are we going to go in and take over Iraq? You know, it's just a horrible, horrible foreign policy, and the price is so dear. You know, if they had perfect results, you know, we didn't lose anybody, it didn't cost that much, the oil paid for it, we put in somebody that was a good person, and there was more peace and more tolerance. You know, you say, well, I still don't like it, but, you know, we can't argue about it. But these opposite happened. Not only did we not provide and deliver them a system of government that was supposed to be democratic and freedom and all these wonderful things, look at what it's done to us as a people. Look at what it has done to our liberties. Look at what it's done to our Fourth Amendment. It's so tragic, and yet there's still a lot of support out there for that policy. And I am still believing, though, it can change, and that's what we should be concerned about, getting that change to come about.
This is Ron Paul. The weekly podcast will continue in a moment.
How would you like to do something that's good for you and good for America? Well, you can, just by shopping like you normally do. You see, just about everybody uses Amazon these days, because it's so easy. But from now on, when you're going to shop on Amazon, go to the PodcastOne.com Ron Paul page and click on the Amazon link there. When you do, a portion of whatever you buy gets kicked back to the Ron Paul Show to help keep the podcast coming and keep us from having to run tons and tons of ads. So we can be selective and focus on getting you Ron's message. So do it. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on the Ron Paul page, and click on Amazon. The next time you're going to buy something, use that link. You'll be helping yourself because you're buying something you want, and helping America because you're helping keep Ron Paul's messages coming. And there's no extra costs involved. You pay the same price, it's the same Amazon. If you want to help out even more, tell your friends to do the same thing. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on Ron Paul, then click on the Amazon link. You'll be glad you did.
Dr. Paul, you mentioned Madeleine Albright and her excusing the death of hundreds of thousands of innocent victims, primarily children. I don't feel as though we should leave the topic of the Iraq debacle without talking about the explosive rate of deformities and birth defects that have been reported among newborns, especially around Fallujah, which is the center of our attention these days in the aftermath of the U.S. invasion. And I don't know whether it was depleted uranium or white phosphorus or other toxic war pollutants, but it is clear that something awful really has happened there.
Well, it did, because the first battle, you know, in 03, actually was the first time our Marines ever lost anything, so to speak, because we always won all the military battles in Vietnam. We lost the war because of the whole nature of that war. People who defend their homeland have an advantage. But when we lost that first battle skirmish, which was serious, and we lost a bunch of our personnel, that we were determined we had to go back in there. And that is when it was argued that they used white phosphorus and that much of this did cause birth damages and birth defects, and that they're still suffering the consequences. It's something that you're not going to hear about on the evening news. It's something our government will not investigate. Have you ever noticed? I'm sure you have, that when one political party gets involved in doing things that are unseemly and illegal, like torture and problems like that, does a new administration ever come in and really investigate and punish the people who broke the law? No, they don't do that. So they're not ever going to go and show, you know, what has happened. It's left to somebody else. So then you have to look toward the people who were on the inside, and they have to become the whistleblowers And guess what? Whistleblowing is a very dangerous thing. People who run a dictatorship, and truth is treason in an empire, lies. And that's how empires are maintained. They have to lie and demagogue. And therefore, anybody who wants to expose him, it won't be our government officials. And those who have been in government, and when they reveal the truth, of course, then they get into big trouble. One thing, though, we can look at right now is it looks like we might be winning the PR fight to make Edward Snowden a credible person. You know, I still don't think it's safe for him to come back and get a safe trial. You know, the president lectures him. You come back and give us a safe trial. Here is the president can drum up a kill list and assassinate American citizens. And they say, well, how did Bradley Manning manage with his trial? Well, after a year or two of incarceration and torture, yeah, he got his trial. But we have to change the psychology, the nature, and the philosophy of the American people to that of defending our liberties and understanding what liberty is all about, and not believing that we are the policemen of the world, and we need to give up on this whole concept of running a world empire.
Well, Dr. Paul, your warnings were prescient in advance of the Iraq War. Your advice was also good in 2008 that we just marched in. We could have just marched out at the same time and saved the U.S. economy additional grief and financial burden that it can't really bear. Thank you, Dr. Paul. Another great conversation and podcast. Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.